this evening, Ephesians chapter number 6, and as we're still considering and looking into spiritual warfare, all right, and looking into this, and so let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 this evening, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, where we'll be, dive right into it tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. All right. So you find your place in Ephesians chapter 6. I want to remind you again, as I'm going to try to do so every time, because I want it to stick, okay? I want this truth to remain in your minds and to remain in your hearts. That as we do fight our spiritual battles, as we do engage in spiritual warfare, please understand that as believers, as Christians, as born-again children of God, you and I are fighting from a position of victory, all right? We are fighting from victory and not necessarily for. Yes, we may be fighting for victory in that specific battle, but the war overall, it has already been won because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you and me on the cross of Calvary, being buried and rising again the third day. All because of what Jesus has done, you and I, as believers, as disciples, as followers, can fight from a position, stand from a position of victory. Please, please, always keep that in mind. No matter how hot or how difficult the battle may seem in your life, you and I can still win, all right? And who here loves to win? Me too, me too. There's only a couple other people that's on this property that I know is more competitive to me, and I will not name them, all right, for fear of embarrassing them. But I love to win, okay? We all do, and we all should want to. But I'm thankful to know and to declare to you that as believers, we can win the victory in these battles, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So, as we're thinking of spiritual warfare, we stand, we fight, we engage from a position of victory. Now, as we're also considering spiritual warfare, we've been looking into this as of late, into our spiritual armor, all right? The armor of God. And God has given us every piece of the armor. So again, that you and I, not only from our position of victory, but you and I can stand with this armor and have victory in our lives. We need this armor to fight, to stand, as the Bible says, to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need the armor to do so. So the things we've seen thus far about this armor is the first one we saw was the belt of truth. And remember, the belt here for the Roman soldier was a piece of clothing that would hold everything else together. It was vital for him if he's going on to the battlefield, doing a lot of movements and a lot of engaging fighting, to have everything in its proper place. But it was held together by this belt. Now for us, this belt that holds everything together is the belt of truth. It's the truth, all right? And what did Jesus say was the truth? The Bible says this, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's the Bible. It is this book that you're holding in your lamps, and I have up here on this little podium, that is the truth. Please understand that. And please know that. And I hope those that are watching understand that the truth, when so many people are searching for truth today, what is truth? Is so many times the question of young people that's even going to college and coming out of college, they're wondering, what is truth? Well, it's this right here. The Bible is truth, and we need it. It has to be our foundation, all right? And I believe that's why it's first in the pieces of armor, because it needs to be our foundation that holds everything else together. So we've seen the belt of truth, and then we've seen the breastplate of righteousness. And of course, the breastplate for the Roman soldier would be what would protect the vital organs of that Roman soldier. No Roman soldier would dare go into battle without this important piece of armor. For if he did, he'd be an easy target and make an easy casualty. Now, for us, the breastplate that protects us is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what is that? Again, it starts by knowing Jesus as our Savior, as He imputes His righteousness to our account. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. That's where it starts. But then after we know Christ is our Savior, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And you and I can do what's right. We can live righteously, okay? Again, I'm not speaking of perfection, a sinless perfection. But I am speaking of, as a believer, you and I can do the right things. We can behave rightly. We can think rightly. We can do right. We can because of Christ, okay? Again, going always back to Christ, always back to the Lord. Not in our own strength, our own power, our own wisdom, but all in His. We can live righteously. And as we do, as we put on the breastplate of righteousness, righteous living, then is then that we wouldn't give any ammo to our enemy, our adversary, the devil. He can't accuse you to God, can't accuse you to anybody else, can't accuse somebody else to you as we are putting on the breastplate of righteousness. As Peter said this way, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Again, that word conversation is not necessarily speaking of how you speak, but how you live. Because he is holy, because Christ in you, you can live holy as well. You can do what's right. Simple as that, okay? We can. So put on the breastplate of righteousness and be ready for battle. Okay, we've also seen this. We've seen our battle gospel shoes, all right? Now again, the Roman soldier would have had a different pair of shoes he would put on, but these would be, his shoes for battle would be different. And it'd be these that he would put on to give him a more sure footing in the fight, in the battle. And for us, what is that? What is the gospel? As the Bible says, "Have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So to be properly prepared for battle, we must be prepared to give out the gospel. We need to be. Because as we do, and when we do, you and I are engaging in the fight. We are fighting. We are standing on this foundational truth of the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But be ready to give it out through testimony, through tract, just giving out the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, His death, burial, resurrection. Good news. People need to hear it, don't they? In a world that's full of bad news, they need to hear the good news. They need to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. So put on your gospel shoes, all right? And then, we saw this past Sunday, a very important piece of armor that Paul made a very interesting statement about. He says this, above all. Above all, he said, taking the shield of faith. Now, he wasn't saying that all the other pieces of armor were not important. No, he wasn't saying that, but he's trying to make an emphasis. Knowing that whatever we go through, whatever battle we may face in our spiritual battles, whatever it may be, we can do this. We can take up the shield of faith. What's that mean? We can simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what comes our way. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. Put our confidence in Him. Why? He will never fail us. So if you're going to at least take one, if only one you're going to take, above all, take the shield of faith and trust the Lord. All right? So we've had these pieces of armor that we're looking at. We've seen these thus far, but the one I'd like to see today, as we come to our text in Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to find it in verse 17, but we're going to start reading again in verse number 10, okay? But we're going to see this evening. We're going to see the important piece of the armor of the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, all right? So let's look at our text, Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore," meaning that word meaning means this, because of the previous instruction or the previous truth. He's talking about battles, okay? He says, "Because of the battles, wherefore, because of the battles, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation." The helmet of salvation, another very important piece of the armor of God. Every one of us need to take and put on, all right? Let's pray. Father, again, we come to you this evening With the understanding of looking into the helmet of salvation, another important piece of the armor, I pray you'd help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives and truly live a victorious Christian life every single day. Make it real, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so the first thing I'd like for us to see from this portion of Scripture concerning the helmet of salvation is this. Number one, its identification. All right? It's identification. Now again, keep in mind as Paul is writing and as we're considering our spiritual armor, as he's writing this passage of Scripture, Paul is still on house arrest, okay? He is a prisoner of Rome. He's being guarded by Roman soldiers. So Paul himself, when writing about the armor, is literally looking at a Roman soldier with his armor, making the comparison and making the analogy as he sees the belt, as he sees the breastplate, as he sees the shoes and sees the shield and, of course, the helmet now. As he's seeing all of this, he's making a comparison, an analogy to our Christian armor, okay? And Paul, he's looking at the Roman soldier's helmet at this time as he's penning these words. And one of the first things you could notice as you were looking at a Roman soldier's helmet is this, that this helmet, it identifies this soldier. Now, when it came to Roman soldiers and their helmets, they had a few different ones, okay? You see, you would have helmets that would be kind of like this one. It'd be kind of plain in a way. And, of course, you don't want to take this in a fight, okay? So it's plastic. You don't want to take this one. All right. But it'd be plain. Nothing really on top. It may have these little things come down the side. They look like they're just for decoration. But they actually would protect their cheek, all right? But it'd be kind of plain like this with nothing on top. This will be more for like infantry. Just your simple boots on the ground, simple fighters, all right? Infantry. And so when you see someone wear one of these, you're like, oh, you're just normal grunt, right? You're just infantryman. And so you'd have a helmet like that. And then you had some other helmets. You had some that the cavalry would wear. And as I was doing some research on that, it's a little bit different helmet. Some of those, actually, it would be similar in style, but what would happen is they would have a face mask that would come down over their face and protect their cheekbones, everything. And basically all I had was two holes for their eyes to see out of. But so it'd be different. So you see someone had a face mask on, you would say, well, I bet he's a cavalryman. I bet he's one of the more important dudes on the battlefield. He has a face mask. He's got to be more important, right? But when we look at a Roman soldier's helmet, the one that we really are familiar with, at least, is more or less, when we look at it, is like this one, okay? Now, this one here would be your centurion helmet. And his will be a little bit more fancy. Yes, if you took off this right here, they call it the plume. If you took this off, it would look like a normal infantryman's helmet. But when you put this on here, that just signifies that this guy who's wearing this one, he's important. It's identifying him. It's identifying him as a centurion, not just any grunt. No, he's actually in charge or in control of at least 100 other men under him. He's important. And because he's got this fancy little mohawk that's red, and it makes him important, all right? But you would have this. They call it the plume or crest. Some of them call it the crest. But it was important to have this during battle, because during the heat of the battle, to have people fighting and swords clashing and people screaming and people yelling and maybe fires going on all around them and the dirt and the mud, it'd be awful. It'd be important to know who your leader was. And so this thing right here, I'll put it on for you so you can see. If you want to try it on, it's fine. I don't have lice that I know of, okay? So if you want to try it on later, you can. But, so, the main guy would put this on, okay? And yes, I may preach with it on the rest of the time, all right? But he would put this on, because as he's commanding his officers, don't laugh at me, as he's commanding his officers, don't laugh at me, Christy. You know I'm self-conscious. All right. By commanding his officers, this would not only identify him as the leader, as the centurion, But it also would do this. It would make him in battle, give him more of a presence. Okay? It would make him look, you ready? Taller. That's really why I put it on, okay? But now I'm going to take it off because you're laughing at me. But anyway, so he'll put it on, if I can get it off. There we go. So he'll put it on, make himself look more intimidating, look taller, and identify, hey, look, that's the leader. We got to follow his instructions. We got to do exactly as he tells us to do. We've got to follow his commands. We've got to go with him because, well, he's our leader. It identifies the soldiers and their different ranks. So when it came to the helmet, especially in a Roman soldier, hey, it's an identifier. It's important. It's important. It identifies them. Now, how does this apply to us? All right. Look again what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. There it is. Take the helmet of salvation. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you are saved, you know the Lord, then you have put on the helmet of salvation. What you have done, what you're doing, is you are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as we identify with Christ, then we shouldn't be ashamed of wearing the helmet of salvation, of identifying with. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. Of identifying with Christ, with the gospel, with the Bible, with the church. Because listen, when we don't wear our helmet, when we don't identify with the Lord, then we are not in the fight and we are losing the battle. We must put on our helmet. We must identify with the Lord, with Jesus. We must. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed. It's what Paul said. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He is identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's identifying. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then as he was writing, Paul, writing to his young son Timothy in the faith, he said these words in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse number 7 through 12, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He said, be partakers of those afflictions, those battles. Don't be afraid to identify. Don't be ashamed to identify with the gospel, with Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation and identify with Him. He goes on to say this, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Here it is. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He said, I'm not ashamed of these things, for I know whom I've believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Listen, when it comes to the helmet of salvation, all I'm trying to say in this first point is this. It identifies. It identifies, all right? Listen, identify yourself with the Lord. Identify with Him. Give out the gospel. Let people know who you are. You're as a believer, a Christian. Identify with Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation. Okay, so we see its identification. Number two, I want to see this quickly. I want to see this. Number two, its function. All right, its function. Now, as look at the helmet, it wasn't just to identify someone, but it also served as another great purpose, another great function. And when you see someone putting on the helmet, it's pretty obvious what it does. All right, it protects. Its primary function is it protects your head. It protects your head. Now, would you agree with me that protecting your head is a very vital necessity when it comes to a battle? or it comes to war. You would say that's important, right? We would all say yes to that. It's very important. It's important when it comes to fighting with physical contact, because one blow to the head could knock you out and it would just render you useless in the fight. That's why when you go and if you learn to box, they teach you to keep your hands up and try to so you can block the blows or the roundhouse that come in, jabs or whatever come in to try to hit you in the face, hit you in the head to knock you out. But you keep your hands up to on guard for that. What's another thing? Contact sport here. Football. Oh, there you go, obviously. Put on a helmet. Why? Because, well, not trying to protect your teeth and smile, okay? It won't keep you in the game. So we got to keep you from getting knocked out. We need to protect your head. We need to try to protect you from getting concussions. And I've had like 3 or 4 or 6 of them. I can't remember. And there's nothing wrong with me, okay? But anyway, just protect your head, okay? That's what it's all for. That's what this helmet is for. Any kind of physical contact, it needs to be protected, all right? I read several stories of our service men and women in the military, and they were giving testimonies of their specific armor that they had that protected them during battle. Yes, some of their vests protect them during battle, but there were several that talked about how important it was for them to have on their Kevlar helmet. I found it very interesting. I want to read a couple of them to you, okay? This one comes in from Lance Corporal Bradley Snipes. He said during a 2005 mission with his platoon that he was shot in the head by an enemy sniper. But the only thing that saved his life was the Kevlar helmet that he wore. Another guy, Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Stump of Fort Bragg, said he was shot by an insurgent in Afghanistan, but the bullet penetrated the back of his helmet, just grazed off of his head, and exited the front of the helmet. And then this young man then eliminated the insurgent while protecting his team. Another guy who was in the Marines, his last name was Hatley. He thought that he was hit in the head with a rock after bullets impacted a wall that was close to him during a 2011 operation. But he and his fellow Marines shortly realized thereafter that he had actually been shot in the head. But his Kevlar helmet saved his life. He was only left with a little bit of a headache. Hey, look, you cannot convince these guys how unimportant this helmet would have been for them, because it protects their head. You can see story after story after story of our men and women in service, how the Kevlar helmet protected them during their battle. And listen, for us, our helmet is just as vital, if not more so, in the spiritual warfare you and I face to protect our heads. Let me ask you a question. When it comes to spiritual warfare, where's the main battlefield? I believe that one of the main battlefields as we face it in our spiritual warfare is here. It's in our mind. I won't re-preach that message, but we talked about that several weeks ago, about the battlefield of your mind and really for your mind. The battlefield rages there. More times than not, our battlefield is in our mind. You see, our adversary, the devil, he wants to attack your mind. And he has done this with great success time and time again. He has done this with great success from the get-go, from the Garden of Eden. He did this with Eve. He's very good with it, to attack the mind. Remember what he said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Paul, he kind of summed up that little battle in the garden. When he was writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says this, Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He is saying, look, the subtlety that Satan portrayed or attacked with, it was in her mind. You see, that's what he was doing. He is subtle in his battle and with his controlling. He was trying to control how Eve thought. The thought process of Eve. He wanted to control that. And he did it with questions. He did it with different things. He said this to Eve. He said, yea, hath God said. He was saying, did God really say that? You see, he's trying to control her thinking. He's trying to control her mind. And then he would go on to say, you won't surely die. Eve, come on. You won't die. It's going to be okay. You will not surely die. He was trying to control how she thought. And Satan, listen, wants to do the same today. He wants to control how you and I think. He wants to control that. But we must put on the helmet of salvation, meaning this. We must, as believers, allow God to control our thinking. We must allow God to control our minds. We have to. We have to. Okay, all right. I agree with you. I'm on board with that. We need to let God control our mind. But how do we do that? Glad you asked, okay? This is how. What you hold in your laps. The Bible. This is how we allow God to control our mind right here. You see, as a saved person, you're not under the bondage of this world anymore, and its leader, that little god of this world, little g, okay? You're not under the bondage of him any longer. You have a new master, a new Lord. It's Jesus. As Christians, we have a new master. And we should let Jesus, we should let him, we must let him control our thinking by obeying his word. As we read his word, study his word, and obey his word, we're letting God control our thinking process, okay? Let me try to sum this up a little bit. In the garden with Eve, let me ask you a question. Did Eve know not to eat of that fruit? Yes or no? She knew not to. Okay. How did she know don't eat that? Because God told her. But in the moment, in this battle, who was she allowing to control her thinking? She knew what God said. She knew what God wanted. But in the subtlety, I know he's a subtle snake, I get it. In the subtlety of this serpent, the subtlety of the devil, she yielded to him and allowed him to control her thinking. And she caved. Listen, there's such a battle for your mind and in your mind that want to control how you think. How you think. Look, but as believers and as a Christian, we should study the Bible. We should study the doctrines of Scripture. And as we do, as we look at it, as we read it, as we study it and apply it to our life, we will not be easily led astray. But we must know. We must be in it. We must study. We must obey the Word of God. The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation. Again, the conversation, the former manners, how you lived, how you behaved, the life you were before Christ, or before you at least gave your life to Christ, all right? That old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put you on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. How? Okay, Paul, you said don't be conformed, meaning don't be put into a mold like Play-Doh into this world. Okay, don't be conformed to it, okay. But how? Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, as Paul, when he would minister, as he would start churches, he would always teach new believers, teach the truth of the Word of God. And his helmet, as he taught the truth, the helmet of salvation, it would protect them from the lies of the devil. He would say these words to Timothy again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look, we must teach and we must learn the Bible so that God, listen, can control our thinking. Please. I've tried to emphasize the Word of God through our spiritual warfare study and series, and I'm going to try to emphasize it as long as I have breath in my body. I cannot overemphasize the great importance of the truth of the Word of God. Because as we're in it, as we read it, as we study it, listen, we obey it. God controls how we think, okay? Please understand that. So folks, today, when they want to combat with the Bible, and they want to try to question the Word of God and question God really Himself and His existence and other things, and they question the truth, I ask this question. Well, where'd you hear that? What do you mean where'd I hear it? It's on the internet, man. Of course, all the information's out there. Well, okay. So, speaking of really evolution. So when you're talking about evolution and speaking about creation, and you say that I'm wrong and you're right, you're basically telling me what somebody told you to say. No, man, I'm a free thinker. No, you're not. You're not a free thinker at all. You're reading after somebody who has taught you how to think. So you're not a free thinker. You're just putting out the same information you've read. So basically it boils down to this. You're going to believe the book you read or I'm going to believe the book that I read. That's the bottom line. And I choose to believe the Bible, the truth of the Word of God. Listen, as we're in it, it will help us. It will control us in our thinking, in our process of thinking. Please, please, please put on the helmet of salvation. The function of His helmet is to protect your mind. Put it on. So, we've seen the identification. We've seen how the function of it. And then I want to say this, lastly, okay, and quickly. This is where the practical point is. Just simply, I've kind of hit on already, but simply put it on. You see, again, like the shield of faith, you have to take this up. Look at it again. The Bible says, verse 16, starting there. Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And, verse 17, take it up, pick it up, take the helmet of salvation. You and I have to put this on. Put it on purpose and put it on for a purpose. Put on the helmet of salvation. Now understand, when I say put on this, I'm not talking about when it comes to salvation, you saving yourself. You and I understand we can't. There is no way possible you and I could save ourselves. No, salvation is a gift of God. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you and I could ever do to earn our salvation. No work we could ever do that would gain our salvation. The only quote-unquote work that I could tell you is this. You and I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. As Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. So we're speaking of putting on the helmet of salvation. Look, I'm saying this, that as a believer, He's already speaking to believers here, as a believer, you purposely, unashamedly identify yourself with the Lord, with the gospel, with the Bible, with the church. And you purposely, with great intention, protect your mind from the onslaughts of the devil by understanding, knowing, reading, studying, obeying the Word of God and letting God's Word control your thinking. But you have to do this with intention and on purpose. obeying the word of God. We have to. It has to be done. This putting on the helmet has to be done by you. No one else. Listen, no one else can do it for you. Just like nobody can pick up that shield we talk about Sunday for you, nobody can put on this helmet for you. You and I, we have to do it. We have to put on the helmet ourselves so that you and I can stand therefore. We have to put on the helmet. The helmet of salvation. You see, it identifies, we should identify with Christ. You see, it's a function, it protects the Roman's head. Look, our helmet of salvation protects our minds. And that is as we stay in the Word of God, allow Him to control how we think. And what we think about the world, about ourselves, let Him define you, please. Let Him, let the Bible, let Christ define you. Identify with Him and put on the helmet of salvation and stand therefore. You know, during times of warfare, especially as you think world warfare, there have been countries down through the years who remained neutral, meaning to try to stay out of the fight, try to stay on this even neutral ground, but understand as believers, as Christians, there's no such thing. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we are in a war, and we don't have the privilege of being neutral. No, we are in a battle, and the lines are clearly drawn, and we must stand, and we must fight. We must put on the whole armor of God to be able to do so. So let me ask you a question. Do you have it on? Do you have these pieces that we've seen thus far? Do you have these pieces on? Please don't wait. Don't wait. Go ahead and have them on. Put them on. Because I want you to understand some of the attacks. The battles, when they do come, they don't wait till you're ready. So you be ready. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, put on the whole armor of God, as the Bible says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of God.